This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for tuning in today for this edition of Family Talk. Every day we strive to bring you programs that will help strengthen your family. And to do this, we need your help. We need your prayers. And we also need your financial contributions. You know that Dr. Dobson has been fighting for the family for over 40 years now, and he's not about to stop. Believe you me. Here's Roger Marsh with more information on how you can support the ministry of Family Talk.
And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Family Talk, part of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and however you're listening to us, we are so glad you've joined us. Today, we're addressing the tough subject of same-sex attraction, which affects millions of people and their families. Many struggle with their sexual identity, and culture further confuses these individuals by celebrating these feelings. However, the fact is, many feel ashamed and trapped by these urges, and they long to be free. Today on Family Talk, Dr. Dobson will talk to a marriage and family therapist who counsels these individuals. There's a lot of content today, so let's get to the broadcast. Here's Dr. Dobson to introduce our guest on this edition of Family Talk.
Our broadcast today is going to be on a very, very important topic, one that is somewhat taboo, at least in some circles, because it is controversial and it has been made that way by the LGBT advocates who have used the issue for their own political purposes. We have a guest here today that I'm just extremely pleased to have join us. His name is David Pickup, and he is a licensed marriage and family therapist with his private practice based in Dallas, Texas. He's a member of the American Psychological Association and the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, which I am too. David is also a board member of the National Association for Research and Therapy on Homosexuality. We want to learn more about that. He advocates heavily for the group he co-founded called the National Task Force for Therapy Equality. And there are those that froth at the mouth at the thought of anybody trying to help someone who has an inclination or an attraction to the same sex, with same-sex expression. And that's really what we want to talk about today, because there have been dozens of states that have actually outlawed such therapy, even for children. Can you imagine that a mom and dad would look for help for a child who is confused, has a sexual identity problem, and there are Christian therapists who care for them and help them deal with this concept or this inclination, and it has been made illegal in some places. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. David, thank you. You flew out from Dallas today to be with us, and I couldn't be more pleased by both what you're doing and what you came here to say.
Well, thank you. I'm greatly honored. I'm thrilled to be here, so thank you.
How many patients do you see per week?
Well, it varies a little bit, but per week I see anywhere from 33 to 38 clients, and that's a pretty hefty load. I'm going to have to hire an intern soon, because the good news is we're overbooked practically every week now.
Well, that tells you what the need is, doesn't
it? Yes, it certainly does.
And the numbers of them per week that are either children or adolescents is what?
I haven't counted them actually lately, but there's going to be, it's probably somewhere between 5 and 10 and who are minors, under 18. And then there's a whole slew who are around 18 to 25, and then a few late 20s to early 30s.
Tell us what reparative therapy is, or what you give the name to. You give another name to it.
Reparative therapy, which is, I'm going to announce on this show, because Dr. Nicolosi Jr. has allowed me to do this, it's going to be changing names. It's going to be called reintegrative therapy. But for these purposes, I'll call it reparative therapy, which, by the way, is now a trademark term.
By whom?
Well, the government has just given Dr. Nicolosi a trademark. And so people need to watch what they say when they say the term reparative therapy, because it's got specific definitions now, some of which I'm going to tell you about what it really is. So reparative therapy, if it's the real thing, is plainly just good therapy. It is done by licensed professionals who have been trained very well in gender and sexuality issues. And the theory is, which most people of faith believe, that homosexuality is not caused by something genetic. For instance, there is no gay gene, and your listeners have got to know that. And other studies are inconclusive as well with hormones and epigenetics.
And they not only don't know that, they don't believe it.
That's right.
Because they've been propagandized.
Exactly. And so when someone comes into the reparative therapy office and asks for treatment, that's what they believe. And so we respect those beliefs. And so one might ask, well, how come these feelings occur? Well, what people really don't understand enough of is that there are all kinds of gender and emotional wounds that are underneath homosexual feelings. Just to be brief, there's a lot of severe gender identity inferiority or dysphoria, actually, in some cases, and a lot of severely unmet, in the case of men and boys, male needs for affirmation, approval, and affection from primary male role models growing up. What happens, in essence, is masculinity becomes something that's objectified instead of that marvelous God-created design for men to feel like their own men in their own subjective bodies. So reparative therapy, in short, heals those issues. And here's what people don't know. Homosexual feelings can and do automatically lessen, and for many men, they just dissipate.
You say that in public and people will get red in the face and angry and deny that it happens and that no one is ever retaught or retrained how they see women and men and themselves. But it is possible. It does happen.
It does happen. It's very possible. Is it hard work? You bet it is. When you talk about the basic building blocks of one of the most deep aspects of humanity as God created us, gender and sexuality issues, you bet it's hard. But I've several times had men spontaneously speak up in session, unsolicited by me, and they tend to tell me the same thing. I'm paraphrasing, but this is almost a quote. They say, David, sometimes with tears in their eyes, David, this whole me feeling my own sense of manhood in my own body, this feels a lot better than sex with guys. So I know two things when that dramatic, cathartic experience happens in sessions, that it's not inborn. Well, we know that anyway. But number two, it's changeable. Now, it's not light switch therapy. No one goes in the office and turns on a light switch and says, oh, you're healed and you're straight now. No, it takes some time, but the point is it works. It can work for people who are truly motivated. And we don't force people to do this therapy. We only treat people who are motivated to do this therapy, who, according to their belief systems, we work within.
Your critics say that you're forcing yourself on people, that you are deliberately manipulating them because you don't want them to be homosexual or have those tendencies. Therefore, from a Christian point of view, you're doing everything you can to stamp it out.
Yeah, let me tell you what really happens. Let me give you an example of what just happened last month. Happened several times a year, by the way. Some panicked parents bring their 15 or their 17-year-old boy in for session, say, you will do change therapy, reparative therapy, or whatever it's called. Here's my son, change him. And I ask the son in private, do you want to be here? Do you really want to be here? And they say, some of them, not all of them, obviously, no, I really believe I'm born gay and I don't want to be shamed. And I said, you know what? We don't force you to do anything. That's not what real therapy is all about.
You can't anyway.
Right, exactly. Wouldn't work anyway. But I have nothing It's happened to me many times. I have nothing but compassion for those kids because, yeah, is my belief system different from theirs? Sure it is. But I'm transparent about it, and I'm honorable about it. So are all our colleagues that do this exact same work. And they tell those parents, I'm sorry, we're not going to be doing therapy because you're going to hurt your child more. And so we're not going to do that. Now, if you want to work on other issues like self-confidence and that kind of thing, we can certainly do that. But the bottom line is nobody credible forces any kid to do anything.
You're listening to a fascinating discussion featuring Dr. James Dobson and David Pickup, a licensed marriage and family therapist. This is Family Talk, a radio ministry of the Dobson Family Institute. I want to quickly tell you how grateful we are for your faithful and financial support of this ministry. Your generosity has fueled us through these difficult times this year, and you can learn how to partner with us by visiting our website at drjamesdobson.org or calling toll-free 877-732-6825. Okay, let's get back to today's broadcast now, here on Family Talk.
When you look at the totality of the people you talk to, I want to ask you two questions. What percent of them have been deeply wounded and hurt in their earlier life? And second, how many of them have problems with their fathers?
Well, this may be hard for people who just frankly don't have a lot of information right now, but to some extent, and I'll explain to what extent in a second, to some extent, the answer to that question for both of them is 100%. Now, let me qualify that. I've never found, now I'm looking, I have an open mind. I am looking, in fact, I thought I had one guy who really wasn't suffering about these needs underneath the homoeroticism we've been talking about so far. I have an open mind to discover what might happen. Maybe I'm wrong. But so far, none of us have found one single case where there has not been a severe lack, for whatever reason, kind of doesn't matter, but a severe lack of male need fulfillment for love, affirmation, approval when a child grows up. And on the other hand, a very deep sense of inferiority about his own maleness on some level. Now, qualifying that, I would say some boys' wounds, and therefore some men's wounds, are a lighter version. There are some wounds that you might want to consider somewhat on the lower end, all the way up to extreme, extreme traumas over family dynamics, even up into including sexual abuse. So it is on a gamut. But I've never seen anybody that does not have that. They come in and they say they're missing something. There's something deep down inside of themselves that they don't feel good about their own sense of maleness. And that happens because they don't get a good male copying, identifying experience when they're children.
Sometimes now that puts the onus on fathers. Is that fair?
In part. And well, let me say first of all to your listeners, this is not about blaming. This is about naming whatever the truth is. And so for some kids, I find extreme bullying just because a kid is sensitive and more of a gentle type of masculinity, which is wonderful, but they get these silly bullies who put them down, who have their own problems with masculinity, and they get wounded that way. For some, they have fathers who are extremely volatile. Now, I'm talking about extreme cases. For some, they get fathers that are volatile and don't know how to love their own boys or identify with them. And some fathers are heavily distant. Maybe they have died, or maybe that they're just not there, divorce in the family. The point is that for some reason, those father and peer male identity issues are not fulfilled. And that sets a kid up to objectify masculinity later on in puberty when the sexual hormones kick in, instead of this marvelous subjective experience from boyhood to manhood that we're created to be.
You know, it's not that different from a single girl who may be overweight, who may have been rejected by guys and has never had a date, and they are deeply, deeply wounded. I feel the same way about them as I do about these homosexual men or the men with that have this inclination. They didn't ask to be that way. I am irritated by our Christian brothers and sisters who say that they were born that way.
Yes.
It's just not true.
Yes, it's absolutely
not true.
You're absolutely right.
There's some reasons for it occurring, and they are deeply felt and hurtful. And the first thing you do, I think, is to tell them that you affirm them as a person, and if they're a guy, as a man. They don't feel like men. They feel odd, different, rejected, out of step. And if you can start there, you can begin to heal those wounds. When those wounds heal, then the attraction to men often is lessened.
That's exactly what happens. I get to see that emotional cathartic reaction that you just described, granted with a lot of emotional processes because it is therapy, but nonetheless, I get to see that little bits and pieces at a time every day in my office. And with clients, it takes a while. And this is what the LGBT left doesn't want people to know about me and my colleagues who do this work all over the country now. They think we shame people because they have homosexual feelings. It's the opposite that happens. The first principle of real reparative therapy is to remove any and all shame because they do have homosexual feelings. And the left is saying the exact opposite, that we hate these people. And what happens in my office, I assure you, is about love, wisdom, compassion, and truth, and the rights of every client to fulfill themselves.
Now, some Christians won't understand what you just said because they believe, as I do, that the Scripture condemns homosexuality, and it is a sin, calls it a sin, and indicates that it is something that has to be dealt with spiritually as well as emotionally. So you're not disagreeing with that.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. And that's why I'm so glad you're asking this question, because people have to be careful with their words. What feelings are just feelings. I could spiritually, in the spiritual realm, I could simply say temptations are temptations. Acting on those temptations is sin. Of course it is. Who can realistically argue anything true about the Bible and not agree with that? Even Jesus was tempted. Well, was he a sinner because he was tempted? You'd be shocked to find out almost every client that walks into my office deals with that misunderstanding between just having a feeling and feeling horrible and sinful because they've had a temptation or a feeling, and they don't distinguish in their minds between that and acting out on those things.
I would really like to have them confronted with this question. That Jesus was tempted three times in the wilderness by Satan himself. He threw the worst at him that he possibly could. And temptation is not temptation unless there is a desire to do wrong. And Jesus had to have wanted not to walk this terrible path that he was going to walk that would end in him being crucified on the cross. He would have rather have had an easier life. And Satan was telling him, you don't really have to go through this. You can accomplish everything you want to accomplish. Just pay attention to me. But Jesus never sinned. So it's
That's
not
right.
the temptation that's sin.
That's right.
Temptation is Satan talking to you and trying to entice you to do wrong. But it's when you yield to that and then become part of it and take it into your body that you have created a sin that you're accountable for.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And a lot of parents, unfortunately, don't really realize that the language, I'm talking about my experience at least,
yeah.
They don't really realize that the language they're using in many cases, not all, but in many cases, towards their children who have these issues sounds so shaming. And unfortunately, God bless them, but unfortunately, they become an unconscious party to that same shame-based issue. And that's it's only one of the reasons why kids tend to think their temptations or their feelings are so horribly awful or disgusting just because they're tempted. And we work on that big time in our office because reparative therapy is not about shaming just for having feelings.
Well, I can see now that we're not going to get through with this conversation today. And if you'll stay with us tomorrow, and you flew here to be with us, if you'll stay with us, I would like to start with what you recommend to parents, because this is almost as difficult for them as it is for the kid who is attracted to the same sex.
Yes, it is. I'll be happy to.
And when we will get into that. You have been instrumental in getting many of those states that outlawed the therapy you do, which is unconscionable. You know, imagine this. You've got perhaps a parent who has a 13-year-old girl or boy or one younger who was sexually abused and got all confused about sexuality and what it means. They've been torn apart and wounded. They desperately need the help of a Christian therapist who will come in there and put an arm around them and tell them that they're loved by God and that they can deal with and help them deal with what's happened to them. And they make it illegal.
Dr.
To help
Dobson,
them. If there's anything that drives me nuts, that's one of them.
That's exactly correct. I was involved in the first therapy ban 6 years ago. In fact, the lawsuit against that is called Pickup versus Brown. Pickup meaning me, Brown meaning Governor Brown. And so that's exactly what happened. So can you imagine, which has happened in some of our offices, a kid like that comes in. I'm in California, which I used to be. And having to tell that kid, you know what, I know what works. I know that you can at least reduce it possibly. We don't demand anything, but it is possible that you can resolve these issues. And I say, I can do that, but it's illegal. So have a nice day.
That's all
you
can
imagine?
Do. They take your license if you even try to help that person.
That's right.
With parental consent.
That's right. So this is a violation. In fact, now it's gotten even worse because AB 2943 was passed by the Senate, waiting for it to go to the Assembly, in the California Assembly, and then we think it's going to be passed there, and Governor Brown is waiting to sign this legislation.
And what does it say?
And it says you can't do any kind of change therapy that adjusts or affects homosexual feelings or behaviors, no matter what the cause, for everyone. So now it's not just children, it's for adults. Violating free speech, client rights, parental rights.
I'm telling you, California's gone absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Some of the things coming out of there are breathtaking. And like you, I used to live there. And one of the reasons I'm not there now is that the legislature and the governor have been so contrary to everything that I believe, I just couldn't deal with it. We packed up and left.
Well, there's only real two arguments. Speaking about it philosophically or spiritually, or even scientifically, there's really only two arguments that this the reason why this is happening when you get right down to it. It's born that way theory, and it's all about love. That's all that the LGBT folks really are saying. And so those are the two things that really are not true. There's no gay gene. And it is about love, but it's about unrequited or unfulfilled love. It's not about sex. So,
isn't that amazing? People will shake their heads when you say that. Homosexuality is not at its foundation and root about sex.
Absolutely.
It is about hurt and rejection and pain and sorrow and tears and abuse sometimes.
Yes. And in every single client's case, again, I'm waiting for the day when somebody walks in where it's different. I have an open mind. But in every single case so far, all of us who do this work, automatically, I don't tell them what to feel in session. Automatically, when they are in touch with those homoerotic feelings, they discover a cathartic emotional experience where all this trauma that you just ably described begins to come up, and they go through a grief process. And to make a long story short, at the end of that grief process and the healing of those wounds, they, after a period of time, they notice that their homoerotic feelings, if not vanished, are significantly reduced. And that moves them into what reparative therapy is really all about, the rise of the authentic, confident, powerful self.
And we can only take just 30, 40 seconds to answer a big question. Where does the Lord come into this?
The Lord comes in automatically. Reparative therapy, it wasn't created with the Bible at Nicolosi's side, who wrote the book, but I assure you, reparative therapy just happens to complement sound biblical truth and principles. And so I believe that psychology in this sense is just a detailed version of what God's principles are. And if a client, people of faith usually, walks into my office and they want spiritual counseling to be a part of this, I am fully prepared to do that.
You pray for them and with them?
I do anything spiritually that they need in session. and that includes everything you've mentioned. If they don't want spiritual counseling as a part of their, that's fine too. But in my opinion, God is still in it all.
Our guest has been David Pickup. Again, appreciate your being here. I've loved talking to you. This is a difficult issue, but parents especially who are worried about their sons and daughters are going to be very appreciative for this conversation today.
Thank you.
And we're going to pick it up next time and talk not only about them, but to address the parents as well.
Great.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, sir.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Dobson's conversation with David Pickup, a licensed marriage and family therapist here on Family Talk. We pray that your eyes were opened to the people who are struggling with same-sex attraction in our culture. Also, how David Pickup is counseling and caring for these individuals. Learn more about David and his practice by going to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. We also encourage you to read the blog that's been written for us on this topic by our guest today, David Pickup. Find all that and much more when you visit drjamesdobson.org and click onto the broadcast tab. Well, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with David Pickup right here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.